The WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Don't go anywhere. In moments, we will bring you Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman to discuss the final 53-man roster. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For a one-of-a-kind experience that makes diamond buying less stressful, visit the home team at Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Have you ever gotten a ticket for jaywalking? 3.6% say yes.
Really?
I have not gotten a jaywalking ticket.
I've never gotten. I think I did in college once.
Really?
Yeah, wouldn't leave the bar. You know how they tell you they try to get everybody to leave?
Yeah.
So then it becomes, oh, grab him. He's walking across the middle of the street and being traffic. Yeah, so give him a jaywalking ticket.
Yeah, I think
one of those things.
Cops got bigger problems nowadays.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you're on a college campus, though, that's all they got.
Yes, absolutely. Jaywalking ticket. So we do have the final cuts. Anything interesting, Elliot?
Not really. So all the
way to sell it.
No,
Elliot.
I know. Yes, all the final cuts are out.
This is going to be so exciting.
Yeah.
Don't move.
I'm going to read all 19 names you've never heard.
You
of.
You wouldn't believe who got cut.
All right. So the one interesting thing is they did cut the long snapper, Charlie Hewlett. My guess is he is going to be put back on practice squad, elevated. And he will snap week one. But outside of that, Kenyon Green was cut. We knew that from yesterday. Anaya Smith was cut. Fifth round pick last year, which is interesting. Again, the bottom of the roster is not that good. So Darius Cooper made the team. So that's interesting.
There we go.
Thank God.
Keely Ringo on the team. Cam Williams, the tackle that I thought would make it, did make the team. So I'm happy about that. I got 51 out of 53 on my prediction.
Oh, wow. So you're going to win the beat right
now? I feel pretty good about it.
There you go.
Who'd you get wrong?
Who are the two you got wrong?
Antoine Powell Ryland and Kenyon Green.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you something? It popped into my head last segment when we were talking about something. Which game would you give the Eagles a better chance of winning? Like, let's say they're going into Team X. Forget about who the team is. Mm. One Eagles team has Tanner McKee and has the full complement of receivers. Mm-hmm. The other team has Jalen Hurts, but does not have A.J. Brown. Which team do you think has a better chance of winning the game?
So it's basically the same situation, except no A.J. for Jalen.
No A.J. for Jalen, but Tanner McKee has everybody.
I think Jalen.
What do you think?
Yeah, Jalen.
They've been pretty bad. Now, they were 2-0 without Jalen last year.
Yeah.
They've been pretty bad with no A.J.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. I guess I'm thinking more about the quarterbacks, where I think Jalen brings so much more than Tanner McKee does.
For sure,
but
the
loss of AJ hurts.
Yeah, it's pretty big, big one.
We focus on Devontae.
Yes,
John Dotson, the MVP of training camp.
No, Darius Cooper ends up being our number one.
Who was the MVP? I thought John Dotson was the MVP of training camp.
He was really good for sure. Yeah. Actually, a few more notes here.
Okay.
So, Obo Okoronkwo, who I know not been said on this air, but had a really good camp. He did make the team, so I'm surprised by that.
What position does he play?
He's an edge.
Okay.
So interesting. They kept him, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Trevor Keegan did make the team. He didn't have a great camp, but
he was a second year.
He's
Michigan?
Like a guard. Yeah.
Michigan. Yeah.
Yep.
How about that?
Football guy,
remember? Mm-hmm. We will bring you Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman as soon as they go live. 215-592-9494. Tony and Kennett Square, you're on WIP. What's up, Tony?
Hey, guys. I had a great time to draft on Friday, so I wanted to call in and say thank you to WIP for having that.
The afternoon show Fantasy Football League draft.
Which team are you, Tony?
I'm player haters ball.
Okay. There you go.
So you had the outfit on.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, he had the green outfit on.
Yeah, he took that off about, what, round 8?
round 14.
All right.
That thing was so hot. Oh, my God.
Now, we haven't gone over the teams yet because our commissioner is suffering from illness right now, Buzz.
He's using that as an excuse?
Well,
he's at his house.
Well, we got to have him in here, right? Commissioner Buzz.
Can he upload rosters?
Well,
they weren't due by 4 o'clock today?
No, he uploaded them.
Okay.
I mean, discuss it on air.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think, is there any controversy here as to who should be commissioner? Buzz versus Morgenstein because of how fast the Morgenstein draft went?
Yeah, well, I would hate to add any more on Morgenstein's plate.
After today?
A little tight.
Yes.
Earlier today.
He was.
But
that's the tightest I've ever seen Morgenstein.
Obviously.
Yeah, I noticed that too, actually, when he came in.
Yes.
Way more competent than Buzz.
Oh, yes. It's not even close.
I wish I had more time to socialize with everybody, but we started the draft at like 6 o'clock on the dot, and then everybody was in full concentration mode.
Yeah.
So,
well, bro,
joking around.
Yeah,
there's no time for laugh.
Yeah, like we just got finished work. We got to get right into the draft. Yeah. You feel good about your team, Tony? You feel good about your team?
Yeah, I feel great about my team. I think me and Dustin and Fritz clearly have the three best teams. I had one pick that I messed up because I couldn't see the board and didn't know who was there. So I just panically auto-picked my fourth-round pick, basically.
Okay.
But other than that, I'm happy with my team. I got everybody at their current ADP or below their ADP, so I'm very happy about that.
I care about that.
Mr. Dork guy.
Nobody care about none of that.
Let me tell you, bro, you ain't winning.
You stole Genty from me and Sutton from me, so I'm kind of upset about that. But other than that, it was
you can have the rest of my roster, though, if you wanted, like the bottom part of it. Those last five picks, I don't know what the hell I was doing. Goodness gracious.
You were doing a lot of studying, a lot of taking a lot of time to make a pick is what I remember. All right, Tony. Appreciate you, buddy. Looking forward to kicking your ass this year.
Right.
Yeah, so as we in moments, I think. Now, Elliot mentioned this is it took a long time for the Eagles to send out
normal,
the roster.
Which is surprising. It does seem like Howie and Nick are going to speak relatively soon.
Okay. Yeah. We will have that in moments.
Yeah.
Don't change that dial.
Don't change that. I was going to go to Herb, but you can't.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you can't.
You crazy?
Chris in Richmond, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I agree with you that it felt bigger than one game. It just was like flashbacks to the playoffs last year, like the early game one specifically, like early lead versus the Mets, and then huge inning got away. And that's as big as like a regular season game can be, like playoff rematch, just almost September. So it's just real frustrating. I was like, why am I so upset watching this last night? But then that's like what was, I was like, oh, that's why. It's like,
well,
it was a big moment.
And, yeah, Chris, the reason you're upset is this is the first time this year that we have felt like a series actually matters. You know, like it is a long baseball season, and you look forward to series like this because I actually, when I was, I felt the same way in the game. I was nervous when the game started, and I think it's the first time I felt that way for a Phillies game this year. It was the good kind of nerves that I was excited for the game. And yeah, when they were 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position at a certain point in the game last night, and that's why when Trey and Kyle Schwarber and then Bryce Harper all came up with two men on and we didn't get anybody home, like that it is a flashback to last year, because when you have a chance and Senga was begging to get taken out of the game at that point, when you have a chance to get the starter out, bust the game open, and you don't do it, you end up paying for it, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and last thing, like the rundown was annoying, and then also the Bryce like orange gloves thing. It's like his play isn't like good enough to keep the spotlight on. So he's like, "Oh, what can I do to like stay attention? Like attention on me? I want attention." So he's like, "Let me do orange gloves." But I love Bryce, but it's like getting kind of old.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, part of why...
Certainly is seeking attention.
Yeah, I mean, part of why he is mentioned in a group with a bunch of players that he is not as good as anymore is because he has star power, is because he does things like that. He is a really good player. He is not a top 10-ish player, but I think if you asked a casual person to name baseball players, Bryce Harper's on that list, and part of it is because of who he is.
Yeah, and you know, to back him up a little bit, I do think the Bedlam at the Bank home run in the World Series is part of it as well. It was a few years ago, but the postseason success does, I think, still matter a lot when talking about Bryce.
We will get to Nick and Howie in 1 minute after I tell you about something that, replacing your windows and doors takes longer than a minute. Right? You go to Guida, it's going to take a couple of days to get them in there. But it will be a decision that truly changes your life and your family's life for the next couple of decades. You're going to have a more comfortable house. Your energy bills are going to go down. And you're going to feel better that you finally did it. Guida is the place to do it. There is a reason Guida has replaced windows and doors for thousands of families in the Delaware Valley. It's because they're just good at it. Right now, not only are they great at it, they're going to give you 40% off every single window. Every energy efficient, triple pane, expertly installed window, 40% off. Every door, sliding patio door, I got a new sliding patio door. Sliding patio door is kind of nice. Never actually had one before, but it's pretty nice. 40% off that, 40% off your entry door, 40% off your garage door. Buy now, pay later, so no money down when you start your project, and up to 18 months to pay it off with no interest whatsoever. Don't screw this up and wait till after August and miss this sale. All prior sales are excluded. Call them today at 877-GO-GUIDA. Get your free no-obligation in-home estimate, or at 877-GO-GUIDA, or go to goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com. I do think Bryce likes the spotlight. Absolutely.
No doubt about that.
And I do like that about him,
sure,
for what it's worth. It's
absolutely.
Just it backfires in moments like last night.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 215-592-9494. Rodney in South Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Rodney?
Hey. Quickly, let's first give a shout out to Jack for doing what he did today and making sure he ran properly. He should have lapped him twice.
Well, lapping somebody twice in a 400. By the way,
he wasn't moving that fast.
I think a less than 400 meter race would have been tough. Yeah. But Jack, you know what? I think I was smart. I think Jack was smart. He saw he had the big lead. He made sure he kept the lead. He didn't want to get hurt.
I was thinking about chirping the last. Yeah. The last stretch there.
Could you imagine if you had tripped?
My God. Well, yeah, I could have.
Would have been the greatest moment in WIP
even
history.
Even when I did a little turnaround, I was like, this is a little cocky.
Oh, yeah. The finish line?
You would have went viral.
Yeah.
All press is good press.
Maybe
if I wore morning show attire like Bryce did last night.
Some lime green shoes or something.
But anyway, Bryce, you know what? It doesn't care what the man wears. First of all, I thought he was a fashionista. That did not go with anything last night.
Yeah, it didn't match.
It didn't match at all. That was the most ugly. That's why I looked at it. I was like, what the heck? He got on. But he should have waited a different time to do it. Maybe the Mets come here. I don't know if they come back here or not. But
they do.
It's just crazy that he did it. But you worry about what his production is in the game, and his production that he's getting criticized for is what he should be criticized for, his production, not what he was wearing. That doesn't matter. You wore ugly uniforms before, and you played well.
Yeah.
So, you know, the uniform doesn't matter. It's what he's doing outside of the uniform that's getting him to be so controversial.
Now that I think about it, only ugly uniform I had was like my second year state. I didn't like that design of the uniform. No.
No.
It was bad.
What if you had, let me ask you this, what if you had gone into a game against Michigan wearing Michigan colors?
I would have got the hell beat out of me. Yeah. Yeah. They wouldn't have let me off the bus or on the field. Yeah.
But is your rivalry back?
What? Oh, Nick and Howie now?
Yeah.
They've started to talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here are, we think so, in just 1 second, we will bring you Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman. Here they are.
This is the toughest day of the year for us. You start your season and you're letting guys go that you've brought into the building that you care about as people. Obviously, you've selected them as players. So I want to start by thanking all the players that we had as we opened camp, the effort and energy they brought to us. And obviously, you know, we hope to get as many of them back as possible now. We always keeping the door open, as you guys have seen, bringing guys back who we've brought in here. Great group, great people, and obviously tough day. And as we go through it here and go have a conversation with each and every one of them, Coach and I sit down with each and every one of them and have conversations. And although it's hard, just really appreciate the opportunity to do that with all those guys.
Really the same thing, how hard it is on you and your staff with these guys every day, and just talk about how hard it is.
First of all, you build relationships. That's the whole thing we're in this it's why we're here in the first place, right? To help guys achieve their dreams, achieve their goals. I think that's the reason I got into coaching. And so you build those relationships with guys, and then you have to let how many?
Was 37.
Yeah, then you have to let 37 of them walk, which is always hard. And I try not to.
38.
Yeah.
I
so
saw them second guessing me.
Yeah. So you know, it is. It's always you build the relationships. You work on that from day one of OTAs all the way until we are right now. But I don't for a second like. Yeah, we have to do Howie and I have to do that 38 times, which is hard. But I don't ever let myself think, man, it's going to be a lot more hard on that guy than it is for me. So I don't want to play the victim here at all on that, because I know, you know, they're the ones going through that, and it's going to be a lot harder on them. But it's not an easy thing, and for all those reasons that I said. And, you know, everyone has a role on this football team. Everyone has contributed to this football team to date. And some guys you continue on with, and some guys you don't. And that's just the nature of this, unfortunately. But appreciate all their contributions to helping us get to where we are right now and be ready for this season.
Why'd you trade for Sam Howell?
You know, we remarked this is probably the only press conference we also do all year that is actually a 50-50 split. We traded for Sam Howell. We know the player really well. Spent a lot of time on him coming out. Ironically, I think the only college Thursday night game I've gone to in the last 10 years was Pitt, North Carolina, and we ended up getting both those quarterbacks, which is ironic, like I said. So we had done a lot of work with him on him coming out, saw him firsthand as a starter with Washington. Obviously, he had tremendous success in those games, had a lot of appreciation for him as a player and his talent level and the person that he was. Spending time with him, you know, so a guy who's always on our radar, and just felt like for our team right now, the hardest part for us is trying to balance the development of players, the development of young players who we like, and doing whatever we can to go out and defend our title and to put the best team forward here for Dallas and going forward. So I think everything we're doing with those parallel paths and trying to figure out where we can get away with developing some guys that we think can help us in the future and where we can help the team in the short term and make sure that we are covered. And so in this instance, just felt like Sam had a lot of value for our team right now. That doesn't say we don't like our young quarterbacks who are here, that you know, we don't have great hope and promise for those guys, and we'll just see what happens in the next 24 hours where we go about getting some of these guys back, but just felt like it was the right thing to do here for the short term to make this trade and bring Sam in.
How about the trade for Fred, and why not just sign him when he was here in the offseason?
Bless you. Yeah, I think that's a simple, you know, I think from our perspective to just go, why not sign him? There's also in his mind, you know, he understands that we have two all-pro level offensive tackles. You know, he's in a stage in his career where he played really well and he was looking for an opportunity. So, you know, just because we didn't sign him doesn't mean we weren't trying to sign him. And I think for him, he was looking to see what he could do somewhere else because of the situation that we had. And when the opportunity arose to bring him back, we jumped at it. You know, just someone that we feel really good about having here. You know, that offensive tackle position, just like the quarterback position, you can never have too many of those guys that can come in and play for you over the course of a season. You know, we're trying to play, you know, a lot of games here. And so over the course of those games, you're going to need guys to step up in backup roles. And Fred's shown he can do it at a championship level. And so just was really excited to bring him back.
I was specifically with McCord, and both of you specifically with Kyle McCord. Did you see qualities that, you know, make you look forward to trying to develop him if you can get him back?
Yeah, I think he had, you know, did some good things and promising things through camp. Obviously, we liked him enough to draft him onto this football team. And, you know, I always battle that with myself of, like, how much opportunity can you give, you know, your threes. And so, you know, yeah, he shows good promise of where to go with the football consistently. And, again, we're looking at everything, right, practices, meetings, games, all the things. You know, he has the ability to be accurate, and he does a lot of good things. And so my job as the coach is to try to provide them opportunities to be able to continue to develop, and always thinking about how we can do that with our young players. We got a great front office as far as in our development of players. We have great coaches to help develop players. And just that's what I'm always thinking about with those. Like, how do we get them more opportunity? How do we do different things with them? And that's not just Kyle. That's all our, you know, threes and or practice squad guys of that sort.
You ended training camp with a nuclear starter at cornerback opposite Quinyon Mitchell. You added Jacorian.
What lessons did you learn from just what you were evaluating in-house at the start of the year in Keeley and how that dictates how you go about the offseason?
I don't understand the question. What lessons did we learn about Keeley?
I mean, what did you see in Keeley? Where was the drop-off from what you expected was going to come out of, and how you handled?
Yeah, I don't know. In terms of a clear-cut starter, I think that we got a bunch of good players at the corner position, and so I don't think that's necessarily a weakness on this football team. I think that, you know, we start by having an outside corner in Quinion, who we think is ready to take another jump, and unbelievable player. We have another corner in Cooper DeJean, who we think, again, one of the best young corners in the league. And so feel very fortunate to start that position there, you know. And I think that sometimes we look at weaknesses in terms of strength. You know, I've been here a long time. To have two young corners like that, that's a position of strength. And then we have a lot of guys at that position who are young, who have a lot of talent in their body. You know, I'm excited about the corners that we have on this football team. So, you know, I kind of look at it a different way. When you look at those guys, they have different skill sets. They have different strengths. You talk about Keeley. I mean, Keeley is big. He's fast. He's strong. Keeley has shown that he's one of the best special teams players in this league, which I think is a huge thing for our football team. So I probably take it a little bit differently about that position. I think that that's a position that we have strength in numbers there, and I'm looking forward to seeing those guys play against Dallas.
With Darius Cooper, what's the backstory on how you guys were able to identify him, and what do you see as his potential?
Go ahead.
You want to?
As far as his potential, I think one thing I think about him is he has this ability. Not everybody has an ability to win one-on-one. And I think he's shown that through camp, that he has tools in his body to be able to win one-on-one. He's big, he's strong, he's quick. My take on receivers always, you know, is the best guys are have good body quickness and good play strength. And he has those things. Now, and the other thing I think he's tough, right? Because we know, you know, we're gonna try to get the ball to AJ, we're gonna try to get the ball to Devontae, we're gonna try to get the ball to Dallas, we're gonna try to get the ball to Saquon in the passing game, and so some guys have to come up a different way, right? They have to come up with, you know, doing some of the dirty work, and I think that, you know, this guy is a really strong football player who can do some of the dirty work stuff for us. As far as our blocking, as far as special teams, as far as, you know, he's got good speed to be able to clear things out. And really, when you have a guy like that, there's opportunities for him as well in the pass game that mesh off of some of those things. And so I'm looking forward to watching him continue to develop. Aaron has done a really good job with him. Kevin's done a really good job with him of helping him develop. You know, and I think he's got some tools in his body to continue to develop. And so really excited, just really always appreciative of Howie and his staff of bringing in these guys. Like we've had a lot of free agents make this football team in the past, you know, 4 years since I've been here. You know, Reed Blankenship comes to mind, Ben Van Sumeren, you know, there's a lot of guys. I mean, I could go Brenton Covey, Eli Ricks. I mean, so they've done just such a good job, obviously, Howie and his staff in the draft. But what I think gets overlooked sometimes is, you know, the work that happens after the draft. And then also to the coaches that are helping these guys develop, right? You bring in the right guys that have tools, and you bring in the right guys that love this game of football, that are tough. Those guys have a tendency to reach their ceiling and you know, I pride ourselves in that. I'm not hiring any coaches that can't help these guys develop fundamentally. And we got a lot of good coaches on the staff too. So it's just a good combination to have. And I think Darius has benefited from that, and he'll continue to get better.
One more on quarterback. Did Tanner's injury and the short-term potential need, did that affect your thinking at that position?
We would have made the trade for Sam Howell regardless of any situation with our first two quarterbacks. We just thought it was an opportunity to improve in the short term quarterback position, which, you know, is obviously a hugely important position. And just for us, having those three guys again as we start the season, the opportunity to have those guys with the experience that they have in that room, just we felt like it was in the best interest of the team for this season.
Now, going back to Darius Cooper, what was your first time seeing him, and how did you guys find him?
Yeah, a lot of credit to our scouting staff. You know, when we talk about the draft and the draft picks and the front board, there's a lot of voices here, myself, coach, are a big part of the front board, and our senior staff, when we talk about it, our assistant GMs, our vice president, player personnel. So really, we give our area scouts a chance to put their names on free agents and go get those guys. And, you know, our area guys did a great job. Cam did an unbelievable job. I think, you know, Phil was a big part of that too. And you just watch him, and you see, obviously, you know, he's not playing in the SEC, you know, but you see that he's got talent. And when he came in here, just seeing how big and strong he is, I mean, we sat with him today, and he's sitting there in shorts and a T-shirt, and you're looking at him, and you're going, this guy has so much developmental qualities for us, and what a great kid. So obviously it starts now. You know, we tell all these guys, there's no scholarships in the NFL. They got to keep earning it. But he's done everything up to this point to earn the opportunity.
Howie, now that you have your final.
What do you like about the defensive line as far as like the depth at edge rusher, also defensive tackle? I mean, two guys you kept were Gabe Paul and Byron Young. What did you like about those guys?
Well, two very different guys, you know, Gabe Hall and Byron Young, and Gabe Hall's another credit to our developmental program. You know, this is a guy that we followed, who, if he probably would have came out after his junior year, would have been a second day pick. We got him as a free agent last year, and our guys went to work on him because he's got tools in his body. This is a big, long, athletic defensive tackle, and really spent last year on the practice squad developing those qualities. And, you know, think about some of the trades we made here. You know, two of the trades we made with Thomas Booker and DK were guys that we developed, you know, here with our developmental program. And, you know, that's the success of those. Obviously, we'll miss those guys, wish them all. But this is another example of that in Gabe Hall. And then Byron was an SEC player at Alabama who we knew really well coming out of the draft, third-round pick of the Raiders. We claimed him last year. He's heavy-handed. Really strong ability to really block destruct, and you know, I think for that's always a skill set that we're looking for in defensive linemen. You talk about the rest of that group, and we drafted Ty Robinson in the fourth round, and again, you know, rookies, they keep developing. You know, you're not looking for those guys, you're not expecting those guys to be fully developed when you get them. That's what we get them here for, and get in the NFL and develop them and see what their strengths and weaknesses are, and see what they can do in their first year. You know, some guys in their first year were fortunate. They played at a really high level. Other guys, it takes a minute for them to develop. And then our top three guys, you know, we're very, very, very excited about our top three guys in that room. JC, Jordan, Morrow, those guys all look primed to have a great year. Incredible confidence in those guys at the defensive tackle position. And then you go out on the edge and you talk about Nolan and Jalix, you know, starting there. Those guys, really tremendous competitors, tools in their body. We saw what they can do in the playoff run last year. Really believe in those guys. And we brought in Josh, we brought in Aziz, we brought in O. And obviously we got Pat as well here. And just, again, I think some of these positions we look at, like we got solid players across the board. We have tremendous confidence in those guys, and there's different ways to do it. You know, sometimes you do it with stars and you go down from that, but we feel like there's really good players in that D-line room across the board.
If I could follow up on specifically, obviously we talk about a lot of the guys that just make the roster, mm-hmm. roster or don't to stay, but you mentioned Carter. How does his presence and the future that you have with him conceivably affect how you've constructed the rest of that defensive line? He's out there for almost every play.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen's shown how dominating he can be as a player. And when you have that guy, and when offensive linemen are sliding to that guy, it creates opportunities for the guys playing next to him. You got to account for him. If you're going to block him one-on-one, he's got a great chance to win those matchups. I mean, he's that kind of player. He's a special player. And where Jordan is and Jomo, I mean, you guys are out of camp every day. You see those guys. They're in the best shape of their life. I mean, they look prime for a big year, and they're physically dominant as well. And so when you start with those guys and then what they do for you out on the edge, because you got to pay attention to those inside guys, because quickest way to the quarterback is a straight line, you know. And so I think for us, you've seen it. You've been here a long time, Jeff. You've seen that over the last decade and probably even a little bit more. The resources we put into our interior defensive line, you know, it is a huge part of our team building, and feel like that is a chance to be a real strength for this team.
How do you feel about the roster you're handing to him, especially given what the plan was back in March?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say we're not done here. We're not done. You know, we'll see what happens in the next 24 hours. You know, I think I said this the last time we spoke. We got a lot of picks here, and we're happy to use those picks in the draft. But I think for us, the early part of the season, September, we got to see what we have, you know. And if we need something, I'll do whatever I can to help this football team and be aggressive. And Jeffrey gives me that opportunity to do that. And so, you know, I don't think that we're done. I don't think this is necessarily, you know, this is a work in progress.
Not giving me the keys quite yet.
Yeah, not yet, not yet. No, he's going to drive. He's going to drive, but we're going to continue sitting together. But, you know, I think that's where we got to be. And I would say this, you know, obviously last year was a great year. And throughout the year, we're trying to improve the team, you know. And I think that even after the trade deadline, you're sitting there and you're going, hey, is there anything else we can do? You know, is there things that we can continue to do? So I don't sit here, no matter what the year is, no matter what the time of the year is, and feel content with what we're doing. And just we'll continue to look for opportunities. And I promise when I leave here, I will go back upstairs and we will be looking for opportunities tonight, tomorrow, and we'll continue to look through them, you know, every day here until we stop playing. And then we'll take a couple day break and then we'll keep looking for guys.
Howie, what made you want to go get John Metchie? What did you like about him coming out of Alabama, and how do you see his fit?
Yeah, I liked a lot of things about his tape at Alabama. You know, Coach and I, when we were watching him, I went back and watched his Alabama tape too. He's a natural separator. He can play inside and out. He's really good at the top of the route. He's a really good route runner. He's got really good hands. Tremendous character. And I think that, you know, again, when I think about that receiver room, just really excited about that receiver room. And, you know, we'll see what we even get here in the next 24 hours as we go forward to kind of complete it. Because, again, we think of the roster 1 through 70, and we're not done completing that. So getting him, and again, you guys are out every day. You see Dotson, and you see how comfortable he looks and how excited we are about him in the second year, and having him over the off season. He's a really good player. And so overall, just excited about that room.
As far as you mentioned Okoronkwo and Patrick Johnson.
That's a great pronunciation.
A+. But yeah, you mentioned those two guys. What did you like about O, his traits, and was there anything really maybe that separated him from Patrick and maybe some others vying for that same spot?
Con cough, so you can answer the question.
L.
Yeah, we're big fans of Pat Johnson. And
okay, all right, okay, all right, all right.
Coughgate, you weren't in on Coughgate.
Well, it's just like
they're talking about Patrick Johnson.
Yeah,
that's a Super Bowl champ,
dude. I think. See, what I'm thinking is all the beat writers probably not going to talk to Howie for a while. Probably not going to talk to Nick for a while. They have so many columns they got to write over the next week and a half. It's like, what are we talking about?
What are we talking about?
The only interesting thing there that Howie said that seems like a lie to me is that he said they would have traded for Sam Howell whether Tanner McKee was hurt or not. So all that means, if that's true, then it means they don't think Kyle McCord is any good at all.
Yeah, exactly.
If he's
yeah.
being honest, yeah. you know, I don't think he's being honest, but that was the only thing that stuck out to me. Okay, we still have the top 5 of 5 to go. Jack, what do we have to expect in the top 5 of 5 today?
People at WIP who are back.
And it's about him.
Yeah.
One. That's not to give one away. Okay. But I gotta be honest. we've done a lot with the Phillies radio booth and TV booth. He's back in a big way.
Okay.
Unbelievable cut last night.
Okay. All right. So coming up at the top 5, top five people at WIP who are back. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.